Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today.
Joyce
is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for John Bell, his friends and family, and we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner, and then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Indeed, your best year ever. Folks, welcome to a very special show today. What in the world? John Bell, the voice of reason, was invited to be our special guest today to help us all try to make sense and cope with a world fraught with danger and insanity. What in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? What in the world can we do about it? What in the world will give us comfort and peace of mind? We have to stop the insanity and create peace and harmony. John Bell, please make some sense out of the senseless. That's why you're here today, and if anyone can do it, it is certainly the voice of reason, someone I'm proud to call my friend, the one, the only, John Bell.
Well, Joyce, it's a pleasure to be on the show as always, but I hope you haven't oversold me. I don't know that I'm going to have answers to all of those questions. But I thought we might begin by asking ourselves, why are we saying things like, what in the world is going on? Why is everybody so concerned about what's going on in the world today? And I think that there's a logical reason for asking that question. It's because of the tremendous number of natural disasters that we here in this country and around the world have been undergoing in the last year or two. I mean, one after another, earthquakes and hurricanes and typhoons and all kinds of natural disasters that are taking lives and leading people to be fearful about their continuation in life. And then we have these terrorist activities that are occurring not only here but around the world, where thousands of people are involved, many being killed by religious and political terrorists who frighten all of us and keep us all on our toes. And then we have the kinds of things that have been happening in recent days here in this country and in other parts of the world, where some obviously demented or I don't know, disturbed human being buys a bunch of guns and goes out and decides to kill large numbers of people. Las Vegas is certainly the most recent example of that. So it's no wonder that we're asking, what in the world is going on? Now, there really are two approaches to it, I see. One is the one that comes from the religious community, where many people, many serious people, believe that we're in what the Bible and what the religious scriptures tell us are the end times, really the coming of the end of the world. In fact, I think somebody predicted that it was supposed to end last Saturday. And there were a lot of people who were kind of waiting for that. But there is this sense that during the end times, things will get bad. For example, in 2 Timothy in the Bible, it says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Well, we're certainly in some perilous times now when people are saying you can't go to a concert without being killed, or you can't step outside of your door without being robbed or shot or beaten up or whatever the case may be. There's reason to believe that we're in perilous times. And Genesis also said God looked down on the earth and was grieved by what he saw. And there is throughout Scripture, for the religiously inclined, lots of evidence that if God ever became really disturbed with the world, he could destroy it just as he did in the time of Noah with the flood. So there are people who think we are in the end times, that the world is about to come to an end. There are other people who look at this crisis as a series of avoidable incidents. For example, when you have an economic crisis that we had in 2008, the banks and the investment houses and Wall Street was primarily responsible for putting us in an economic condition that was perilous. It was difficult, and many people lost their jobs, and the economy suffered for a couple of years until we righted ourselves and turned ourselves around. That doesn't seem to be the problem today. So what we seem to be dealing with, why we're asking the question you asked this morning, is why are so many terrible things happening all at one time? Is this a sign that something special is going on? And what I decided to do, did you want to say something about that before
we can? No, I just wanted to say, when you said some people actually thought it was Saturday was the end of the world, where did they get that date from? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah, there was a gentleman out in the Midwest someplace who has been predicting the end of the world for some time. And he had actually narrowed it down and pinpointed it to a Saturday in September when the world would come to an end. And it didn't happen, obviously. We're all still here. We're still doing the show. But those kinds of predictions happen from time to time. People are convinced that they know that the world is about to end, and they predict when it's going to happen. But I don't think that's the concern we have today. What I wanted to do, Joyce, with you, and I know because your show is always an upbeat kind of look at the world. You're always trying to find answers to serious questions. And I thought we might do that this morning. There definitely have been a series of incidents recently that would make a lot of us say, what in the world is going on? And I think there are several things about that that we need to deal with. First of all, let's deal with the things we shouldn't do because we think the world may be coming to an end or because all these crises are happening. First thing I suggest is not to panic. You know, I know there are days when I wake up and I think, oh my God, do I have to build a bunker in the basement and hide there, you know, for the rest of my life because the world is going crazy. But we don't want to panic. Because if we panic as individuals, if we panic as a nation, if we panic as a government, we're going to make a lot of bad decisions based on the hysteria and the irrational behavior of panic. So the first thing I suggest to people is that we all calm down. Let's come to our senses. Let's think. Let's pray. Let's consider. Let's make some wise decisions about how we feel about what's going on and what we can do about it. That's number one. Second thing I suggest is that we don't quit living our normal lives. Now, if it's a matter of terrorism, their goal is to get us out of our game, to get us to stop living a normal life. We don't want to give in to that impetus. So what I'm saying is, let's not have any runs on the bank. You needn't run down to the bank and draw out all your money to safeguard it. You don't have to quit the stock market if you're a believer and you invest in the stock market. You don't have to quit your job and go live in a cave in Oregon or something. Let's not quit our normal existences. Let's look at all of these circumstances as intelligently and as calmly as we can and not get strayed off course because we just got panicked and gave up on things. The next thing that I see going on around, I'm sure you do too, Joan, is that, Joan. The
okay.
Next thing,
yes,
I don't know why that
Joan,
name is on my...
For the moment, in the same
Joyce.
As hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, terrorism,
yes.
I want to add on my list is technical difficulties.
Yes, we've had a number this morning.
Yes, so I just wanted to add that to my personal list. And
absolutely.
What you were saying, I love your advice, don't panic, leave life as you normally would. Before you continue with your advice...
Right.
How do you get people that are really freaked out? The shrink's offices are overflowing. Liquor stores are overflowing. People can't handle it. So the advice is great, but how do you lead life as you normally would?
Well, let's hope that the people who are streaming out to their psychologists and psychiatrist's office are getting good advice. And I would imagine that any competent psychologist or psychiatrist at this time is going to say that. Calm down. Take it easy. It's not the end of the world. These are things that we can deal with. We've survived these kinds of things before. We can do it again. So I think that's the first thing. Just sit down quietly. If you don't have some kind of counsel that you can go to for help, I suggest you sit down, relax, calm yourself, and say to yourself, look, we've been through worse times. This nation has survived world wars. The world has survived major earthquakes and flash fires and all kinds of terrible events have happened over the course of history. We've survived them all. So let's rely on the fact that we have a high survivability quotient. We generally tend to get through these kinds of crises and survive them and end up sometimes doing better on the other side. So I'm saying to everyone, relax a little bit. Don't panic. Don't quit what you're doing. Don't change your lifestyle. None of those things are necessary. The third thing that we often do that troubles me, because I know, Joyce, you see it all over the place, is the blame game. Everybody starts pointing fingers at each other and blaming them. It's the Muslims. It's the Christians. It's the government. It's the Congress. It's the president. It's all over the place. Now, mind you, a lot of these people are at fault and deserve some blame for some of the crises we're dealing with. But a hurricane, an earthquake, even what this demented individual did in Las Vegas, is not any individual or organization's fault. As a country, there may be things we can do about it, but pointing fingers at each other and blaming somebody is not the real answer. We need to sit down, as I said, quietly, calmly, and figure out what makes sense to do so that we can avoid these things or at least ameliorate the damage that is done by natural disasters. How can we better prepare ourselves to deal with those kinds of things? The other thing is that we don't want to refuse help. You know, this notion that America could do it all by itself is a big mistake. This is a worldwide crisis we're facing. It's going on everywhere. And we need to band ourselves together with other nations, other leaders, other thinkers, other people who have ideas about how things are done. I don't like this America First idea that our present president is promoting because it's a kind of isolationism. The problems of the world are not going to be solved by any one country by itself. We need to use the best minds around the world to learn how to deal better with earthquakes, better with hurricanes and tropical storms, better with terrorism, and better with the kind of thing that happened in Las Vegas. We need help, and we shouldn't refuse help from anybody. And for those of you who, like me, are Christians or Jews and are religious, are celebrating our faith, don't give up on God. God is still on the throne. He's still guiding things. He still is in control, and we can rely on God for a continued support and continued direction if we are calm and quiet enough to listen for what he directs us to do. And that's for those folks. But there are a bunch of other things that we maybe, instead of not doing, we should be doing. And if you have a moment, we can talk about those. But at this point, let me pause for a second and ask you what you think about the first four or five things I've suggested, Joyce.
No, everything you said always makes sense. It's no accident I call you the voice of reason. But as I said, where I'm a little stuck is advising people, counseling people, helping people that say, logically, I know all that, but how do I get to that point?
Well, you do it exactly the way I do it, which is I sit down and I start thinking about this and I think, is this really the end of the world? And here's the other point. If it is the end of the world, there's not going to be anything we can do about it. So there's no sense in panicking and running around like lunatics.
That's a very good point.
So the likelihood is that if the world is going to survive, and I think that it is, then what do we do about it? And what do we not do about it? We've talked about some of the things we don't want to do about it. And you know, Joyce, just from experience with other catastrophes, other major events, other crises in the world and in our lives, panicking doesn't help. Running around like chickens with our heads chopped off doesn't help. Drawing all our money out of the banks like we did during the Great Depression and things of that sort, that didn't cure the problem. That didn't solve the problem. You know, there are so many things that we do that are wrong for dealing with situations like this. We don't want to repeat those. So we need to focus on, all right, I'm calm now. I realize this may not be the end of the world. What can I do to change things? And one of the things I'm going to suggest deals with the question you just asked me, and that is to stay the course. The quickest way to get yourself into a calm, thoughtful, reasonable position is to get back to living your life as normally as you can, not running around listening to all the time, maybe even turn off the news for a day or two. Don't watch television for a day or so. Don't read the newspapers for a day or so. Collect your thoughts. Sit down calmly and convince yourself as you can that the world isn't coming to an end. These problems have been confronted and solved before, and we can do it again if we don't panic, if we don't lose control, if we don't run around crazy. So stay the course is what I'm suggesting. Calm down. Take things as they come. And be as careful as you can about avoiding panic and blame and all of the other things I said not to do. The other thing is that we can start standing up for what we believe in. I think that it's crazy to have people in our Congress saying, well, we shouldn't talk about gun control now because the issue is too raw. Well, you know what? If your house is on fire, you don't want the fire department to say, well, we don't want to come right now because the fire is too strong. We'll wait till it burns out mostly, and then we'll show up. That's the most ridiculous argument I have ever heard. When is the right time to talk about the need for some kind of gun control discussion, talk, legislation? When a major gun crisis has happened. It's on all of our minds. It's something we all are fearful of and something we're concerned about. So we need to stand our ground. Those of us who are progressive in the sense that we don't want to take guns away from everybody. That's nice. This is not a war against the Second Amendment. What it is a war to defend the First Amendment, as somebody said on television last night. What we're really doing is saying, I have a right to be concerned about the proliferation of guns in this nation. I have a right to be concerned about the fact that one man could go into a hotel room and kill or wound more than 500 people in 11 minutes with a weapon that no individual outside of the military ought to possess, and he had 10 or 12 of them. So, I mean, that's crazy stuff. We need to deal with those kinds of concerns. We need to stand up. Those of us who have a commitment that that requires us to speak out against gun control or for gun control against some of the behavior that's going on in this country. Some of the things even that our president, that visit to Puerto Rico yesterday was atrocious. Nobody should speak to a group of people who are going through the kind of trouble they're going through and say, well, at least you didn't have it as bad as somebody else in Katrina, or you only lost 16 or 20 people and other people have lost, other places have lost 100. What kind of comparison is that? Would you go to a funeral and say, well, you lost your son, but, you know, the neighbor down the street lost his wife and his son? That's ridiculous. And we need to stand up and say so. This is a time for us to stand by our moral and our personal convictions before the crisis gets any worse. We need to stand up and stand for what we believe in and say, we're not going to deal with things in that way anymore. We're going to make some changes, and we're going to see to it that things get better, because we do have some power and we do have some control.
John,
I think we need a yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Everything you're saying is so right on from where you started with. Now isn't the time to talk about the guns. All sane people were looking at each other like we couldn't believe it. Your example was great. Your analogy, the house is on fire. Let's not talk about fires now. It was so ridiculous. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, with the president, the only thing I could say about the president, there's only two things I hate about him: everything he says and everything he does. Literally everything. It is so sad with everything going on, and then you hear that kind of thing. You've increased our budget, he says to the people, with the horrific Hurricane Irma, you've increased our budget. When are the Republicans going to wake up and smell the roses? They're so political. They have no interest in what's good for the country. I couldn't resist throwing that in, but everything you're saying is so right on.
I know that's how you feel, and I agree with almost everything you said. My problem is that this may not be the time for that now, Joyce. This president wants to make everything about him, and he wants us to get angry with him. He is always dividing us against each other, hopefully hoping that we will then support him. You know, when he says to the Puerto Rican government, your people are ruining our budget.
I know.
Now, wait a minute. I thought they were American citizens.
I know.
It's not them against us. It's not them raping our budget. It's our budget, which affects all Americans, that is going to be severely taxed by all of these crises, no matter whether it's Texas or Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands. But you notice the little words that he will say. It's always us against them, and I'm doing a great job. But and there I am. I'm tempted to go down the road you just went down. I don't want to waste my time on this man right now. I want us to begin focusing on what we need to be focusing on, how we provide relief and aid to those people who are in trouble, and how we get rid of this potential for tremendous gun violence, which can kill so many people in a matter of 10 or 11 minutes. That's where we need to focus. The guy down there in the White House, number 45, they call him, I want to put him aside for a while because I don't think he's any help at all, and I don't think he's got anything to contribute. So he's out of my mind for the time being. I'm working with people who are reasonable, rational, and want to do something that could change things. And I want to focus on what I should be doing in my own mind and in my own actions that contribute to that. I don't have time for that guy anymore. I think it's a complete waste of our time and energy.
Want to say it's one thing if he didn't do anything to make it better. The sad thing is he's doing everything to make life worse, make America hate again.
That's why we need to ignore what he says. Every time we get angry at what he says and somebody else supports what he says, we create two sides. When he attacked the NFL football players, there were those people who supported him who then suddenly felt they were on the opposite side of those people who opposed him. The same thing with Puerto Rico. Those people who feel we ought to come to the rescue of Puerto Rico because they're Americans. And there are also people, unfortunately, who say, well, that's just, they're not real.